Welcome to this special edition series, A Strategic View of Hiring, a series of discussions to help you think through and implement smarter and more impactful strategies to recruit and develop world-class talent for your organization. And now, here is our series host, Mr. Rick Thiemann.
All right, welcome back to A Strategic View of Hiring, our next module. Today, we're going to be talking about validating references. I'm joined by Rick Thiemann. He is the president of the Executive Group. Rick, my friend, welcome back. Good to see you.
Yeah. Spite of COVID, right?
Despite COVID, we are here. We're back. So this has been such a great series so far. I'm looking forward to this conversation around validating references. It's interesting thinking about this whole process of identifying a candidate for your organization and thinking about references. Most people, they don't check references, or if they do it, they don't do it very well. Obviously, that most organizations don't have a very good process. So it's a fascinating thing to observe in an organization, how they think about this. But validating references, from all my years in business, we never called it that. We never did that. It was a kind of a perfunctory checking the references. What do you mean when we talk about validating references?
So your point is checking references is something that has always kind of been the mainstay. So did you check references? Which typically means, you know, name, rank, sale number, and date of employment. And that's about all you get in the traditional sense of checking reference. And that's one of the reasons why people don't bother, because they assume that they're not going to get the information that they really need other than name, rank, and serial number. And a number of years ago, I came across this thought process of how do I really know if what I uncovered in the interview or discovered in the interview is fact or fiction? And how do I know from the resume of how much of that is fact or fiction? Because no one ever embellishes on their resume, and everyone is always truthful in an interview. I mean, they tell you everything, right?
Exactly.
And so the focus of the interview and the resume is to make sure that they look like they walk on water and don't have any flaws. So how do you get at the root of all that? And so the validating references concept to me came along the lines of what I call proof of performance. How do I really know whether the facts and figures and data that the individual that I'm interviewing, who's telling me about all the great things they did, how do I know that there's truth in that? How do I know it was their idea? How do I know that they were actually the person who came up with the idea, mapped it all out, and delivered and had a successful outcome? How do I validate that, right? Hence the word validate the reference. So part of it really has to tie back into the interview piece, and that is the information that I derive from the interview has to be validated for any truth and substance. And so when I go check our references, the whole focus is how do I validate what I learned from that interview? And how do I then support that with my interviews, or basically an interview with the fifth person's former supervisor?
Okay. So listening to you there, Rick, someone may say, well, this sounds complicated. We've always done it the other way. I don't understand. This seems to be timely. It's going to be more difficult. But isn't that the whole point? Because we know how expensive it is to onboard a new employee into an organization.
Sure.
Don't you want to ensure that you're bringing in a quality individual with a good track record, someone who can fit culturally in the organization? So you can really improve that success rate by validating references, right?
Well, it's another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Right? And the fewer pieces you have to the puzzle, the lower your odds are going to be of really making sure that you've kind of surveyed all the possibilities and the nuances. So the more information I can derive that I can then support by, in essence, checking the reference, but I call it validating references, because there really is a difference. And in validating, I'm going to confirm with that former supervisor that, in fact, the things that you claim that you are responsible for achieving are, in fact, true, and not something that's made up or half-baked or maybe shades of gray, right? So the interview piece is a critical part of being able to check the reference. But most people don't spend time checking the reference for a number of reasons. Either A, it's too time-consuming, or B, of the belief that I don't get what I need to know anyway, so why bother? And truly it is that, why bother? And then beyond that, it's the fact of, how do I know what to ask? And outside of calling HR, which is the first mistake that you make, is calling HR. That, in my process, I don't even bother calling HR. It truly, and not to be offensive to people in the HR world, because those are my clients, right? But when I'm on a reference checking mission and I'm going to validate what I learned from the interview, I truly want to talk to that former supervisor because they've got the skinny. Now, unless there was a major performance issue and HR got involved, we're probably not going to divulge that anyway.
Well, and not to, as you said, not to impugn HR, but they don't know that candidate as well as that his or her former boss.
I mean, could be, but more than likely, no.
Yeah. Walk me through for a second. If I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, well, we've always done it this more traditional way. What are the components of that old traditional way that are different from the way you look at it in terms of validating versus this old school way?
So to me, you set the stage for the whole validation piece right up front in your phone screen. And if you haven't listened to the session you and I did on effective phone screen, you'll notice that in that phone screen, I set the stage in the very first discussion with that potential candidate on the phone. And I tell them right up front, you know, we're very serious about our process. It takes longer than most. And if there are any things that we need to get out on the table now, such as you may have been fired from a previous employer or something of that nature, let's get that on the table now. I do that in the phone screen because it sets the stage to help them know that, yeah, I'm going to check the references.
Yeah.
The second piece, it comes through in the interview, because in the interview itself, I'm also going to mention the fact of we're going to be checking references, and we do what's called a supervisor interview, which is part of the session we'll do on interviewing. But in that second session on interviewing, we talk about the reference, about checking references as well, or validating what I call proof of performance, I guess is the word I want to use. So at the end now, when the rubber meets the road and we're ready to make an offer, then we have a reference checking valuation sheet that they have to fill out that gives us name, rank, serial number of all their supervisors they work for. Well, now I have a ready-made list of people I want to call and need to talk to. So that's a little bit more laborious than the typical, now we hand the interview off, now we're going to move the candidate forward, and now we hand it off to HR, and now HR calls HR and gets the verification. That's the old way of doing it. And I just don't see that working very well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, and you mentioned the other segments in this series on the phone screen and on the interviewing process. I mean, it's important to note that those are critical steps in this process. You know, we're going to talk today about validating references or validating data that you have to get from these other steps. So it's important to understand that this is a process. And hopefully you'll come through this episode and understand that getting good data to validate really increases the success of this candidate search, but you have to get good data to actually validate.
Yeah. So think of it in terms of proof of performance. So you as a candidate have made some type of statements around successes, skills, abilities, accomplishments, what have you. And I'm going to take copious notes to make sure that I have all that documented. So when I do go to check the reference and validate those comments, if you said, look, you know, I manage a territory of $9 million and I was responsible for growing it from $4 million to $9 million, you know, over the course of the 2 years I was there. All right, well, that's hard data, right? I mean, so how true is it?
All right.
Well, I want to validate that, right? So guess what? One of the questions is going to be to that hiring supervisor by saying, listen, you know, Jerry told me that in the time he was there, he grew the territory to $9 million, and can you validate that for me? I mean, that's kind of the methodology, if you will, as we get into really how we go about it.
And you're going to get a lot of reactions to that are telling. You're going to get, absolutely, he was 100% responsible, couldn't have done it without him. Or you're going to get, no, that didn't happen that way.
Or silence.
Or silence. And that is a critical piece of data to get back what isn't said.
Right. It's listening for the words that the individual uses to describe the situation. Let me give you an example. So one of the clients was looking at a senior director of operations, and the interview went really well, and they loved the guy's background, and they loved his skill set about routing, and he had all the right questions and answered all the right questions. And so they had me do the validation piece. And so when I called the reference and I got the owner on the phone, I said, you know, my name's Rick Thiem, and I'm with the executive group. I'm calling on behalf of Meyer, and they're really interested in an individual that used to work for you and gave you as a reference. And one of the things that they liked about him was his experience in routing and his ability to really understand how to utilize the whole routing system and drivers and increase productivity, and that he was very successful in that. You know, is that a fair statement? And the guy said, yeah, he's top notch. And through the assessment process that we use to help clients and further evaluating a candidate, I asked the individual, I said, well, so one of the things that has us a little bit concerned is he seems like he may have tendencies to kind of operate more like a drill sergeant. And there was a pause, and the owner then said, yeah, that's why we fired him. he went through drivers like, you know, Grant went through Richmond, right? So it really is the ability to understand what the kind of questions you want to ask to make sure that you get the validation piece that's there. And a lot of times we don't have that information because we haven't either documented it, or even worse is that what happens is, I shouldn't say worse, but one of the significant problems is that oftentimes the people who are doing the references, the reference piece, is not necessarily the individual who was involved in the interview that has then the ability to provide the data to validate.
Right.
So there's a lot of disconnects that happen without an effective process that really, you know, goes from A to B to C to D and carries you through to a successful outcome.
Well, in the example you just cited, if you did not include the validating references component of that process, you would have never known this guy had been fired.
That's correct.
And you would have brought this guy in your organization, and just you can already just think about what would have likely happened.
Well, and the other thing is that the individual did not let on that he'd been fired from this company.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was very telling as well.
So common mistakes in this process. I mean, we just talked about not checking them and what can happen there. We just gave a good example of that. Any other common mistakes that you want to share?
You know, we don't always set the stage appropriately, and we don't help the individual or the candidate know that this is a really important part of our hiring process and that we're very serious about this process. So when it comes to getting them to fill out our authorization form to check references, that's a little bit different because most companies don't tend to do that. They tend to use their standard off-the-shelf application form that has a couple different line items for references, and it's not very thorough. Our process gives us complete authorization to check anything from background check to college transcripts to anything that we want to probe. So,
well, you make it clear that you have to disclose what you're going to be seeking, and that's part of the process because sometimes when you make it clear you're going to check some of these things, that kind of raises some flags sometimes that are, it's important to know some of those things.
Yeah. So for example, in the interview process, when I across from what I teach or what I will do if I'm involved in the process is I have what I call a supervisor interview. And one of the things I will ask that candidate is, so tell me about your relationship with your existing supervisor or past supervisor. Tell me about your relationship. And if I were to call them, what would they tell me about, you know, your character and your work ethic and your background? And I'm looking to find a, kind of their reaction, right? And then when I get that response, whatever that response may be, I said, well, you know, I just want you to know that I'm going to want to follow up with that individual. And so please make sure that they're part of the reference piece so that I can contact them and verify the information you provided. Well, I want to see if they're going to score them in their seat, right? Now, if their couple said, yeah, you know, I'd be happy to give you his name. Well, that's a whole different story than, well, you know, maybe he's not the best person to call, right?
So
you're looking for kind of their take on that. But again, it's you're trying to validate what it is they're telling you as fact, not fiction.
Or not half-truths. And you got to read between the lines here because what isn't said is oftentimes as important to understand as you know, something they may spew out. You know, talking about other mistakes, we talked about there is some skill involved in this process. And one of those is how to ask questions and to get valuable stuff to actually validate. So any thoughts on the mistakes made with how we ask questions?
So are you talking about the questions with the candidate or you're talking about the questions when you're checking the references?
All right. We talked earlier about, you know, there is some skill needed here. And when you're talking about calling that reference, there's probably smarter ways to actually get questions asked to get information that you need. What are mistakes that are made there?
Well, to me, it's positioning the call. And what I mean by positioning the call is setting the stage for the interview because I'm actually interviewing the reference person, right? Whoever this candidate has given me in terms of reference, I'm actually going to conduct an interview with them. They don't know that. I'm not going to state it as that. But how I set that up positions myself to really move through the conversation. Because oftentimes what you'll get is, well, we're not allowed to get that information out.
Right.
Or, gee, you know, I can't help you there. You'll have to call HR. That's not an uncommon response.
Right.
And that's hard to get around, okay? And so you have to be prepared for that. And you have to know how you're going to respond to that so that you can move past that. So if I get that response, I say, I understand that. That's a common response I get, and I certainly appreciate that. However, I was wondering if you could help me. And I listened to whether or not they'll say, well, what do you mean? So I wonder if you could help me. What I'm really looking for is could you validate or would you mind validating some thoughts I have based on my interview with this individual and some things that I have some questions around? So it's a subtle way of saying, I'm not going to put you on the spot, right? I'm not going to paint you into a corner. I'm not going to ask you to say things that you might regret, right? Those are things we have to be cautious of. My comment is designed to say, would you help me validate some thoughts I have about this candidate? Because they're going to be serving a very similar role to the role they held for you. And since you've worked with them, I wondered if you could just validate some of my thoughts and my takeaway from my interview.
And therein lies what I think is the critical difference between your process of validating references versus the old school way. Is that old school way does seem to put people on the spot. But what you're doing is you're simply asking for confirmation of what you already suspect or what you're already thinking.
Correct. Now, the next critical piece of that is I must start with positive comments. My biggest takeaway from interviewing Arthur is he seems like a really down-to-earth guy who seems very grounded and very practical and very pragmatic. Is that a fair assessment of who this gentleman is? Right. So I'm going to talk about something positive, right?
Right.
The other thing I noticed was in my interview with Arthur is he seems like an extremely smart guy, seems very well-educated, very strong in his problem-solving ability. And these are assumptions I've already made, right? So
right,
I want to talk about the positive things. And I go, yeah, that guy is wicked smart. Or, well.
Or he starts laughing.
Yeah, right. Something that confirms maybe he's not as smart as I thought he was, right? But you see, in our assessment process, we look at cognitive reasoning, inductive and deductive reasoning, perceptual reasoning. We tie that to their education, level of education. So we can really kind of get an idea of how smart they really are. But I want to stay on the positive side. Now, if the person doesn't come across as smart, I wouldn't go down that path if their assessment showed that they weren't that smart. But you see what I'm saying is I'm looking for those little nuggets that the person is comfortable saying, oh, yeah, man, that's Arthur, right?
Yeah, right.
But then after I get two, maybe three really positive confirmations, and that person's now comfortable that they're not being put on the spot, and they're comfortable that I kind of know Arthur, right? And I'm going to say, so if you don't mind, I have a couple questions where I have a little bit of concern. And now you're going to the pieces of, well, so one of the things that I'm really concerned about is I'm not quite sure Arthur was as straightforward in this example, right? And so now I can switch gears and talk about a couple areas of concern, like the example I gave a little bit ago about the guy who we thought might be more of a drill sergeant, right? But seems technically sound, right? And then that confirmation go, yeah, he went through more drivers. We couldn't keep drivers with him here.
Yeah. I mean, if you come out of the gate, guns ablaze and go negative on Arthur, then that person is going to be defensive and they're not going to want to talk to you. But if you lay the groundwork of positive and kind of get that trust established, and I think you hit the key there and that helped me really understand the value of your process, that you're confirming to this person that you've got a good sense of Arthur.
And you've done your homework, right?
Right. So that's going to make that person feel more comfortable talking to you.
So you're not putting them on the spot.
Right.
You're not putting words in their mouth. You're making statements that they can feel comfortable or either decide to agree with or not agree with. And so to me, it's a more casual approach than the formal approach to name, rank, seal number, and, you know, would you rehire Arthur? And I mean, those are all pretty much standard questions. To me, I kind of drew on my sales background of learning how to ask questions, right? And so asking questions opens the door for deeper conversation as long as you don't, you know, put them on the defensive. So I guess the easiest way to sum that up, to help put it in perspective, is checking references puts the other person on the spot. Validating references confirms your thoughts.
You mentioned earlier in the conversation about this idea of getting authorization to check references. Talk more about that and how does that compare to how it's traditionally been done?
So it's not uncommon to see things happen two different ways, right? The individual fills out an employment application, and the standard typical off-the-shelf employment application has a place for three references as a general rule, right?
I've seen that.
with not a lot of information other than just who they are, right? The other way you typically see it is the individual says, you know, references on request in their resume, or they might give you a list of references of people they feel comfortable, you know, coughing up, right?
All right.
So the reason that I created this authorization to check references sheet, it's an addendum to the off-the-shelf employment application, okay? It's think of it as an addendum, all right? And across the top, it says authorization to check references. And so what it says is basically this. In connection with my application for employment, I authorize you to make a reference check regarding my background to include information concerning current or prior employment, except as noted, general reputation, transcripts, as well as other information in regard to my background as deemed necessary, and agree to hold such persons harmless and with respect as to information that they may give you. I acknowledge that I have read and agreed to the above statement in its entirety. Now, it has room for 5 previous supervisors with space for name, address, phone number, telephone number, and position, whether it was a supervisor or whatever the role was. Because my instructions to them are, I want you to go back and I want 5 references, all of which are people that you worked for. I'm not interested in your customer base or interested in people you've worked with or your peers. I want to talk to supervisors you've talked to or that you've worked for. Well, that starts to set the stage. Now, the most prolific example I can give you is hilarious. And let me explain. We were looking at a quality manager for an automotive company, and we got her assessments result back, and she was going for her MBA, and she didn't seem like she passed, well, she didn't pass the intellectual piece all that well, which suggested that maybe her problem solving might be a little on the short side. So we gave her this reference checking sheet, and we got back 5 references, and 4 of the 5 were former plant managers she worked for, and 1 of them was an HR manager. Now, no quality manager reports to an HR manager, okay? So that was a red flag for me. So why would this person give me an HR person for contact when I asked for all former supervisors? So guess who I called off my reference sheet? I didn't call the other 4 people that she had as plant managers. I called the HR manager. And then I went so far as to call to find out from the HR manager who the plant manager was. Well, then I called the plant manager, who she didn't list as a reference, authorization to check anything I want, right? So I called the plant manager of the company where she gave me the HR manager. And I said, you know, my name's so-and-so, we're calling on behalf of so-and-so, just wonder if you'd validate a few thoughts I have. And as the conversation unfolded, come to find out this young lady had been fired by this plant manager. And which explains why she gave the HR manager and not the plant manager. And one of the questions I said was, well, one of her concerns is that perhaps she's not the strongest in problem solving. And that came out in her low problem solving. And the response I got was, we just didn't see where she solved any problems in the whole year that she was here. And that's why we let her go.
Mm.
So again, you're looking for certain things that kind of stand out, right? And that stood out like a sore thumb. And then when I looked at her test results from the process we use for conducting assessments and her inductive and deductive reasoning and her cognitive reasoning and her perceptual reasoning, those were all low, even though she was going to for her MBA. You draw the conclusion then that perhaps problem solving may not be the strongest part of her. Maybe she's a great lady and really personable and very helpful on the floor and wants to help people with their quality issues, but just not a real good problem solver. I mean, so there's certain things you start to look for. Well, that was just glaring. Another reason that it's important to have a really in-depth background check tied in with your validating references is another client of mine was looking at hiring a very senior level person in the company. This is a $300,000 year role with bonus, so it would have been a $500,000 package. Was vetted through one of the most reputable search firms. And in our process, the client asked me to do the references, check the references, even though they'd already been checked by the search firm. And in the assessment piece, it told us that perhaps this person wasn't the most personable, wasn't the most outgoing, wasn't the most engaging, tended to be distant and aloof in their leadership style. That's kind of what we saw in the assessment piece. And in checking the references came out fine. But I told the client, I said, the concerns I have are a number of concerns around things I think you need to look for. And I suggest you really do a really thorough background check alongside the reference check. Well, come to find out, and this has got to be my witness, what they found out in the background check was the guy had 3 DUIs and a domestic violence charge.
Oh, dear.
So between the assessments and the interview and doing your due diligence through the whole interview process, there's a lot you can kind of begin to unpack about what you may or may not get if you're actually going to recruit this person. So the reference checking authorization is a critical piece to this whole component and is an integral part of of being able to drive the information that you need and tease that out.
All right. Well, Rick, thinking about this, so someone listening to this who says, okay, I'm beginning to understand the value of this more comprehensive process of validating references. So someone who's looking now to rethink and change their approach to how they used to do it to this new way, what are the critical points to consider to effectively do that?
So the folks that I have coached through changing their methodology for this process have found it very valuable. Of course, it's just my word, but they found it very valuable. But what they found was it's tough to get to change the mindset.
Yeah.
Right? It's tough to manage the objection on the other end of the person says, well, you're going to have to talk to HR, right? So learning how to combat that is going to be a challenge. But so it's important then that you, that to start this process, you literally write your script. In other words, what am I going to say? I'm going to practice it. I'm going to write out my questions. I'm going to write out the sequence of the questions. I'm going to start with my positive statements first. I'm going to follow up with my concerns second. I have to have practiced my lines, or now I'm going to stumble. Okay. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway. The other thing that happens is not spending enough time up front when they do the phone screen to lay out the expectations on checking references. Mm-hmm. I think it's also not doing a good enough job in the interview piece of supporting the fact that you're going to check references and how you lead into that. It's not having the authorization filled out and allowing them just to submit the list they've already given and not make them fill this form out. It's not preparing your lines. It's being uncomfortable when you get pushback about you'll have to call HR and knowing just how to stay with that, right? Because if you stay with it, you'll get through it.
Yeah.
Now, there are times when you just, you know, fizzle and crash and burn, right? But it's the whole entourage of beginning to end of executing the process, setting a stage for the candidate to know that you're going to check references, knowing how you're going to validate those references, having made sure that in the interview process, you have truly documented what I call proof of performance, because that's what we're going to validate, right? Statements from the resume, we're going to validate those. And so the end result of a good reference checking piece that you've validated all the components is all the other things have to have been done extremely well as well. And then the last piece is that if we're having someone else, usually it's an HR generalist, for having someone else, or maybe it's the who's ever doing the recruiting, right? So whoever does the recruiting doesn't necessarily do the interviewing. They do the initial recruiting piece. They vet the candidate out. Depends on the size of the company. But your recruiters oftentimes are checking the references, or a generalist. But usually it's those people who weren't in the interview or haven't been part of the process.
Right.
So they don't know what to validate.
Right.
So the interviewee, if it's the hiring manager or whoever, that should be the person who's checking the references or calling the references. Right. Otherwise, there's another disconnect. So there's so many pieces that can go south, if you will, by not making sure that you understand how to really implement the process and what the entire process looks like from start to finish.
Well, that's probably why it's been done that way for so long, because the person checking references wasn't involved earlier in the process and they don't even know what to ask. So they're just checking off a box on a form. And so you begin to understand, I mean, this is a process and each component builds on the next one. And if done right, yeah, we talked about this at the top of the show. This is a more comprehensive, I don't want to say necessarily cumbersome, but I guess it is. It's a good thing because you're also going to significantly increase the odds of bringing in a quality candidate. And so you're not going to have so much turnover. I mean, it's worth the investment.
Yeah, it's another piece of the puzzle that gets missed.
Thinking back, you said something earlier about, and talked about how you have to be prepared for pushback when you call these references. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you or they just want to throw you off to HR. What are some of the responses? How do you respond to it? How do you deal with that pushback?
Well, you're going to get questions like, well, I'm sorry, I'm not at liberty to give the information out, or you'll have to call HR, or it's our company policy that we don't rehire, or we're not allowed to give out dates of employment. And there's probably others, but those are the most significant, right? And so you have to be prepared that knowing that statement is probably going to come out.
Yeah.
But you have to be prepared to deal with it. And so I have to, it's almost like your response is almost, yeah, but, okay?
Right.
But you're not, I mean, you can't say, yeah, but, right? But it's about being able to politely say, I can certainly appreciate that. I truly understand that. All I'm looking for is just, could you spend a couple minutes and just validate some thoughts I have because you work so closely with this individual. I value your input. Could you help me? Right? People want to help, right?
They do.
Right. They really do. And so if you come across as pushy or you're short or you get, you know, irritable with them because they won't talk to you, you know, that's obviously a stupid thing to do, right? Pretty dumb. But the thing is that be prepared that that's going to happen, but be prepared to do the yeah, but in a nice enough way.
Not saying yeah, but, right?
So, but that's the pushback piece. But that's the preparation. And the more you do that, and the problem is we don't do it off enough to get skilled at it.
Right.
I mean, it's ingrained in me. I've been doing this for 30 years now, right? So it's pretty easy for me when I go check references for clients because I know how to get past the gatekeeper. So I think that's the last piece is knowing how to get that information. Now, I got to tell you that it doesn't always work, right? So don't get discouraged. I mean, I have been stonewalled.
Sure.
I was even stonewalled by an individual who I knew.
Well, you know.
So it happens.
It's what you said earlier, though. I mean, you are not, the way you're doing this, if you follow the Rick Thiemann method here, is you're not putting these people on the spot. You're not going to make them uncomfortable. You are simply saying, I have some thoughts. I just need you to validate them. So you're kind of taking them off the hook almost.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's a whole different approach to this. Now, you have to do the work in advance to actually have some good thoughts for them to validate.
Right. That's where writing out your script, so to speak, exactly. Knowing your lines and then knowing exactly what I want to ask. And then again, the more you do it, the more you're going to get comfortable doing it. But it is a change in process and methodology that I don't see many companies using or use very well because they don't stick with it. They tend to give up on it because it is pretty, it can be a lot to add to the process, but it will pay dividends.
No doubt about it. And I mean, it sounds like a broken record here, but this extra work in this process is worth it because it will yield better candidates for your organization, which right. makes it all worthwhile. All right. Well, as we wrap this conversation up, Rick, before I let you go, should anyone have any questions on validating references and everything we've talked about today, how do they contact you and where do they go to get more information?
So our website is www.theeg.com. There's a ton of information on our website under the resource tab. You can also reach me at our office number 219-477-6378, or even my cell at 219-406-2425. Be glad to help or answer any questions.
Okay, great, Rick. And don't forget to check out his great book, Developing World-Class Leaders, The Ultimate Guide to Leadership Development. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And we look forward to seeing you again down the road on future components of a strategic view of hiring. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the special edition series, A Strategic View of Hiring. This series is made possible by The Executive Group, linking human capital with strategic intent, building organizational talent, and developing both world-class leaders and sales force effectiveness. To learn more, visit the Executive Group online at theeg.com. That's theeg.com.